as we now come to this time where the ministry of your Spirit continues now through the ministry of your Word. As we've come to this place, Lord, and not only this building, but this place, this time in our life, I pray, God, that we would hear exactly what we need to hear from you today. That you would speak to our hearts, and that, God, that we would encounter you as we encounter your Word. Holy Spirit, bring us to meet Christ in the Word today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Luke. And I want to answer this question, personal question, to each of us. I guess we could put it that way, but I'm saying personal is from myself, and that is why I like a Charlie Brown Christmas. Okay? Why I like a Charlie Brown Christmas. I'd like to read from Luke chapter 2 and one verse, because we're going to get the context in just a moment, as I think it is Linus is going to help us, okay? Linus is going to help us. But I would like to read this very familiar verse of Scripture. I was happy. I was filled with joy at the verse, the song that we started with today, Joy to the World. And look what the announcement of Jesus' birth is from the angels to the shepherds in verse 10 of Luke chapter 2, which says, "But the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy.'" Good news. Great joy. "That will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." If you've ever seen it, that is to say, Charlie Brown Christmas, you know that as a part of the story, they do a Christmas play, right? And it is quite remarkable, I think, that it continues to be shown. I don't know how many kids like it. I don't know what kind of statistics there are of kids that still like a Charlie Brown Christmas, but probably they do. It's, they're still showing it, right? I remember when I was a kid, a young teenager, I was in a Christmas play. You ever been in a Christmas play? I was. My first one, I think probably my last. I played Joseph. I had the long flowing, you know, Joseph and Mary type of stuff and our little church. And I hadn't been saved very long, maybe 2 years at that time. And I had lines to memorize, you know, the Joseph lines to memorize. And the house was full. It was, you know, I don't know, a Sunday night before Christmas. And there was lots of people there. I think my family was there. My mother, at least, was there watching. And all this, you know, exciting stuff was going on. And they even had a curtain that over, you know, platform so it could be. I mean, this was professional stuff. The guy standing there, Steve, we didn't have automatic closing and opening of the blankets, I think, that they had the curtains, but he was doing by hand on a rope. But I can still remember him as I'm standing there, Mary here, and I forget which part it was in the play, if we were traveling to going to the inn for wherever we were. It was before or after, but I remember I said my lines. I practiced. Well, I practiced my lines. I had them down. Got them all down. I had several 3x5 cards. I remember remembering my lines. Had them down easily. And getting to that part and going through it, and Mary said this and that, however the play went. Finally, you know, I stopped and waiting there for the curtain to close so we can move on to the next scene, change the set around and this and that. And Steve was just standing there. And I don't know if he had a program or he was following along, whatever. He just standing there. And I'm like, everybody's watching Full House, you know. Steve. Finally, he closes the curtain, and everybody is like, you had one more line. Christmas programs. I think they're pretty cool to still do. The manger scene and all that. And why I like a Charlie Brown Christmas. If we can look at this, we can get it. Thank you. Why I like a Charlie Brown Christmas.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. He shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Is that good or what? I mean, that's enduring. That's an enduring message. And this is why I like a Charlie Brown Christmas. I like a Charlie Brown Christmas in particular because it keeps Christ in Christmas. Period. It keeps Christ in Christmas. That's why I like it. And, it's like these days, the no vacancy, in our public, it's like the no vacancy sign at the inn is up. There's no room for Christ. More and more, every year, it seems like Jesus is squeezed out all that much more. Now, here's the thing about that. I don't get alarmed at that kind of stuff. I really don't. It doesn't alarm me in the least. And I'll tell you why. Because I think what matters most is that there is always room for Christ here. That in my life, in the way in which I live, in my heart, that we as people who profess Christ, that we live our lives in such a way that it's obvious whether Christ is out there in the public arena, in the marketplace, if you will, and people say happy holidays. Well, I can respond, well, Merry Christmas. And not because I'm in their face with it. Not because, oh, what's our society coming to? But because Christmas, for me, is Christ in my heart. Christ in my life. Doesn't that make a whole lot more sense to us? And we get all up in arms because we can't put a manger scene here or there. And don't get me wrong. I will raise my voice with the rest of them. But I'm not going to let it disturb me in thinking that here we go. We're going, as long as there are people, as long as there are Christians, where the manger scene, if you will, is really seen right here in our lives. I think this is critical for us. And so this morning, I want to look at this verse of Scripture as we talk the next couple of weeks. Of course, next week, Carmelo will be with us, and it'll be worth our while to hear from him. But as we go up to Christmas and we have our Christmas program, in a couple of weeks, and I have the opportunity to speak from the Word to us as a people. I want to look at this scripture verse. And what does it mean? You know, we look at this, we say, wow, what a bundle of joy. That the announcement, Jesus is just being born as the angel celebrates, as the angels celebrate. And they pass, you know, joy is contagious. And they pass that on. Christ is born. And it's just so exciting that the word to announce to us Christ's birth is great joy. Great joy. And so I want to look this morning at a couple of things why that's so. Why is it great joy? What's this joy all about? And I think about it in my own life as a person who has walked with Christ for over 40 years now. And what is it that has brought in my life in these 40 years since knowing Christ the greatest joy? Now, what are those things that bring me the greatest joy? When I had money, lots of it in the bank. Well, never lots of it, but when I had money in the bank. When, you know, my cars were new. When there were no difficulties and it looked like there was smooth sailing. When all the stars lined up, your lucky stars. And, oh, then there is what? But let just one star get out of line. The money dwindles, difficulties come, because that's what? That's what? That's life. And what happens to the joy? This kind of joy of what we're speaking about. And I can honestly say to you that in all of my years of walking with the Lord, as I have kept my own focus on the real meaning of Christmas, the real meaning of that joy, that bundle of joy that we have given to us here, my joy has not only been kept safe and well protected, but it has grown. It has overtaken my life. What are those things? Here's the first one. The first one is this. The scripture says, and you shall call his name what? Come on. You shall call his name what? Jesus. Because why? He shall what? Save his people from their... That's right. There is no problem greater that anyone faces than the problem of sin. The problem of sin. Now, some of you, I'm looking at you, know what it means to deal with the problem of cancer. The C word, as we've come to call it. And myself, my mother was 56. She battled with cancer, finally died. I did the funeral, my mother's funeral, died of cancer. Others of you I know, Mike, and was your dad, did he die of cancer or was it heart, Mike? Heart was heart. And I use cancer as a metaphor even for sin because of the way in which it eats away at a person's life. It's ugly. It's a horrific thing, cancer is. And if you've known anybody, if you've dealt with it yourself, you know that it is. It's a bad enemy, cancer is. And sin is as malignant as cancer is to the physical body, to the spiritual person, the spiritual body that we all have, to our hearts. Sin is as corrosive. And the side effects of sin, oh man, when you talk about guilt, guilt will drive people crazy. Guilt does. Guilt drives people to God. As well, thank God for that. And another is shame. The shame that sin puts on people's lives. And there's only one remedy, unlike the cure that can be found, still working on it, to really eradicate cancer. A cure has been found, and his name is Jesus, because it says he shall what? Save his people from their sins. How do I get out of it? How do I get out of this sin that has entangled my life? How do I stop it? How do I stop its spread? And sin is like that, don't you know? Isn't it? Sin is like that. It doesn't stop with just a little bit. It wants all of you. That's how sin is. That's how sin works. Thank God there is a stop to sin. It's the great joy that has been given to us, and it's called forgiveness. Jesus forgives me of my sins. Some of you have heard the statement that Jesus washes the slate clean. And I'm here to say to you, no, he doesn't. He doesn't. And you know the analogy. If you were to wash the slate clean, what do you see after you wash the slate clean? What do you see after you erase the slate? You see the shadow of that chalk mark, of that whiteboard marker behind it. You see it there. Something's happened to it. Jesus gives us a whole new slate. He gives us a new heart. This is what forgiveness does for us. And in that God forgives me of my sins, that gives to me great joy. There's great joy because I know him as my Savior. There's great joy because Jesus has forgiven you. Listen, there's no way out of your sin problem. There's no way out of it. There's no way out of it except by forgiveness. He forgives me of my sin. The next one is this. The bundle of joy that God works in my life, is that now I have faith. I have faith in God. That I really do. I was a bad Catholic boy. I believed that there was a God, but he had nothing to do with me because I had nothing to do with him. And now the joy in my life is created because I'm really connected now. When I say I believe because I'm a believer. I'm a believer. See, I have met him face to face. See, it isn't just that I believe, but all, you know, you made a believer out of me now. Why? Because you firsthand experienced for yourself that there is a living faith now in my life. And the wonderful thing about that living faith is this. It is a faith that enables me. I love this song that we're learning. Was that last week? We learned it for the first time. Where I am able to see above the waves. Where my view has been lifted. And yes, the waves of life come crashing down. All kinds of them. But now, you see, they cannot wash out the joy that's been put there. They cannot wash it out. Those waves of life's circumstances. Because the faith that has been deposited now as a gift in my life. This is the great joy. And Abe lifts me. That now I have a vision. Now I have a look above those waves. That I am able to see yet God at work in spite of all of this stuff. I'm able to see that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what? I will fear no evil because... You can't buy that. You can't buy that. You can't write a prescription for that kind of joy. See? Not even MasterCard can touch that. It's worth so much to have that kind of faith in life. I have joy because of that. The next one is this. That this joy gives me something to live for. I have something to live for. I have something to live for in my life that life has meaning for me now and in the end of my life, heaven. I have a future. I have a future. And how many people live their lives and when they become depressed, and I got news for you, very few people escape the trial of depression. Very few people escape it. At one time or another, everyone will face the valley of depression. And the thing about it is, sometimes life has a way of sucking the very meaning of what's my job about? You know, what am I getting this education for? What are my relationships? I'm really not getting. I mean, you've heard of midlife crisis, right? You know, why do people do that? Well, because they got this scratch that was being itched, scratched. We say itched. We got an itch that was being scratched by, and it's no longer. So, well, I got it looking for what? Fulfillment. This joy always gives meaning. Now and at the end. And this is something that we have to be so aware of. There's coming an end to your life. Now, I'm not wishing the end of your life on you. And as much as I'm not wishing the end of my life prematurely, hopefully I see another 40, 50 years. Hopefully. That'd be nice. And we don't know, though. No one does. None of us do. How it will come, when it will come. But it's going to come. And the thing about this joy is that I have an insurance policy that says when you die, you go to heaven. It's written in the blood of Jesus. So that heaven, when the end comes for me here, it's just the door into that life, eternal life. I mean, come on. Come on. That gives me joy. Joy. And then the last one is this. The grip of evil on my life has been broken. The tyranny of Satan, which is cruel and oppressive, enslavement upon a person's life, keeping people in darkness, has kept me in darkness and in bondage. And it doesn't have to be the worst kinds of things that keep a person in bondage. We see them and we say, how the devil kept those Teen Challenge guys in bondage. You know, how the devil kept it. But we can be, the devil can keep us in bondage in so many ways to good things. And it's tyranny, it's cruel and oppressive because I'm enslaved to those things. Perhaps sometimes even without even knowing it. And the joy that comes to my life is knowing that Jesus came. And when he came, it says in the scripture that he came to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus has destroyed the works of the devil in my life. So that grip that the devil, however it is, that the devil would try and get a grip on my life, I have the joy of knowing that Jesus Christ has put a roadblock up to his involvement in my life. That there's a force field around me. That I am no longer one of his subjects, and I don't have to be subject to any of his oppression in my life. I am free. Now, this is the reason for my joy. I have been forgiven. And what we have to notice about these things, about forgiveness, about faith, about having a future, and about being free. We have to notice about those things is that they have very little to do with anything material. I have a nice house. I have great kids. I have a nice car. My dog barks, he doesn't bite. Type of thing. Got my health. Heard someone say the other day, I was getting my hair done. It's a joke. I don't dye my hair. I was getting my hair cut, and just right down here, and the gal cutting my hair is a Muslim. non-practicing, and she was asking me about what I believe. So I was witnessing to her. And we were talking. In the course of conversation, she says, "Oh, that's good. And you know, the most important thing is having your health. If you have your health, you have everything." And that's a common misconception that all of us have, isn't it? Maybe you have said that yourself. "Oh, but you got your health. Or at least I have my health." And here's the deal. You could have your health and not have these things, and you have this. You could have these things and not have your health, and you have more than what you need. Are you following what I'm saying? This is joy. Right here is joy. And so I want to say to you this morning, let's take Charlie Brown's Christmas to heart. This is keeping Christ in Christmas right here. We've all heard, and maybe this year you picked out the wrong tree. I know someone who thinks they did. And you bring it home and it's a what? A Charlie Brown tree. And as much as we want nice trees, is that what Christmas is? We have our Christmas tree up. I put it together. My wife decorates it, does a great job. There's going to be presents under that tree, marked on the name tag, "Hun." From Sandra to me, "Hun." And she asked me the other night, "Well, what is it that you want for Christmas?" I lit up like the Christmas tree. I rattled off several things, and I said, "But I'll let you know." Wonderful. I think some of the joy that we feel that's in the air during this time of the year has been specifically put there by the Lord. I really do. To help us to feel, and we call it the magic of Christmas. And it's bigger than gifts. There's something in the air. I think that it relates to this announcement that was given at the birth of Christ. There's great joy in the air. The key is plugging into what it really is. In as much as Bob's going to get his gifts this year, please, Sandra, look at the list twice. I know without those gifts, there is a joy in my life that no gift can ever be the substitute for. Let's stand in his presence. I want to close in prayer. And as we pray, after we pray, I'm going to say amen. And you'll forgive me for not going to the back. I want to start doing something. That is to invite anyone. I know some of you need prayer this morning. We want to pray for you. We're going to take our time to lay hands on you in prayer. If you're here this morning and you need prayer, prayer for yourself, prayer for a situation, we will take the time to pray for you. Is that cool? Come on, guys, lighten up. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to thank you, Lord. You know what, God? It's for us as Christians, how can we not but keep Christ in Christmas? And so, Lord, that you would so touch our hearts that we focus on this message from Charlie Brown's Christmas this morning, the real meaning of Christmas. The real meaning of Christmas because of that word from Luke, the announcement given to us that there is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And now, God, I pray your blessing upon us as we go about this week, and God, as we're engaged in our business, and Lord God, as we are focusing our lives upon what Christmas is really about in the middle of all this other stuff, that we would keep it in its right place, I ask in Christ's name.